So at this time, I'd like to invite Brother Wolf to the platform to discuss with us, is your confidence in Jehovah? Brother Wolf.
So I'd ask you all to consider an illustration with me that has to do with confidence. A family is driving down a dark, stormy road in the middle of the winter. The roads are icy. The snow is falling and drifting across the road. But Dad's not worried. He's driven down this road many times before. He's got a good car. He's got good tires that are snow tires, so he's not worried. He's going to get to the destination. But his son, 5-year-old Jimmy, in the back seat, is not so sure. He doesn't have confidence in his father, and he feels restricted by the seatbelt. He feels the need to make a change. So he unbuckles the seatbelt, steps up, and sticks his head up between mom and dad and starts giving directives. We should be going faster. We should take that turn over there. That side road looks like a better direction for us to be in. It's a ridiculous scenario, I think we'll all agree, because what can a 5-year-old boy know about driving through a winter storm? The nations are like little Jimmy. They have misplaced their confidence. Rather than showing confidence in their heavenly Father, Jehovah, and the kingdom that he has instituted, they resist his rulership. It's a situation that's described for us in Psalm chapter 2. And we'll read verses 1 to 3. So it asks the question, why are the nations agitated and the peoples muttering an empty thing? The kings of the earth take their stand and high officials together as one against Jehovah and against his anointed one. They say, let us tear off their shackles. Let us throw off their ropes. So that's the circumstance today. Mankind feels they're better off without God's rule. They'll find their own way to peace and security. What about religious leaders today? Are they showing confidence in God? If we could have our first illustration brought up, we see that this is a case of religious leaders performing a ritual that they hope will bring God's blessing on this war machine. And so while out of the one side of their mouth, they might be proclaiming allegiance to God and his kingdom, what they're really doing is showing confidence in the politics of this world, supporting the war efforts of individual nations. This situation is described in the Bible as well. In Isaiah chapter 28, we'll remember that in ancient Judah, the nation was aligned to Jehovah. They should have been looking to him for support. But at this particular time, the Jews were putting their faith in the nations round about. And so this is described for us here in verses 14 and 15 of Isaiah 28. It says, so hear the word of Jehovah, you boasters, you rulers of this people in Jerusalem. For you men say, we have made a covenant with death. And with the grave, we have made an agreement. When the raging flash flood passes through, it will not reach us. For we have made a lie our refuge, and we have hidden ourselves in falsehood. So again, as we look at the illustration, isn't that the circumstance that we see with religions today? Their confidence is misplaced. They think that peace and security lie with supporting the nations of this world. What is the result when we look around us today? If we could have our next illustration brought up, it helps us to see what we live with today in this world. The illustration is a collage of some of the problems facing mankind. The top illustration shows the effects of climate change. We see a forest fire has gone through a community and devastated it. On the bottom left, we see a flash flood has occurred in another part of the world. And these two things illustrate the effects of climate change, something that scientists say are the result of man's mismanagement of Earth's resources. And so the devastating effects of man being in charge. The second on the left, the second illustration, and down in the bottom right, we're reminded of the pandemic. We see epidemics and many problems today that man only reacts to but can't prevent. And then the final part of that collage there in the middle on the right, we see a very familiar scene. People are reacting to man's government's mismanagement, their abuse of rights, the oppression that they're experiencing. All of these things help to see and help to show the discontent that we see around us in the world today. So do the nations of the world today, do they deserve our confidence? Well, let's read what it said. I'm just going to read this scripture because time's a bit of an issue. So in Isaiah 57, verses 20 and 21, and just look at that last part that we considered there, that picture in the middle. It says, "But the wicked are like the restless sea that cannot calm down, and its waters keep tossing up seaweed and mire. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked." And so that's the issue that we see today. A lot of discontent, a lot of problems in this world. But this is all pretty negative, and it's all things that we've talked about and seen. Let's become positive. Let's look at how we, as Jehovah's people, can have confidence in something more reliable. Let's switch our illustration up. The same family is driving down the same stormy highway, but little Jimmy in the back seat has a different attitude. He says in his heart, "My dad is an awesome driver. It's scary outside, but he knows the way home. He's familiar with this road. I've got nothing to worry about." Like little Jimmy, God's servants today have confidence in our Father Jehovah. This is expressed for us in Psalm 46. If you'd like to turn with me in your Bibles there, we can read it together. Verses 1 to 3. There it says, "God is our refuge and strength, a help that is readily found in times of distress. That is why we will not fear, though the earth undergoes change, though the mountains topple into the depths of the sea, though its waters roar and foam over, though the mountains rock on account of its turbulence." So that's the confidence that Christians have in their God Jehovah. Whatever problems, whatever catastrophes we live under or experience in our lives, we have confidence that Jehovah is our refuge, that he will get us through these difficult times. This confidence has produced amazing results worldwide. I'll just give you some statistics for us to digest for a few moments. The 2022 World Report shows us busy in 239 lands around the world. That's quite a few, most of the world, in fact. Over 8,600,000 active witnesses report activity every month. That's a good number, isn't it? A big number. Over 5,600,000 Bible studies are being conducted on a regular basis. Our website, jw.org, has been active for 25 years. Brother Clive Martin, the overseer of this department that maintains this website, says this. He says, "It has been satisfying to see how Jehovah has used jw.org to reach so many people of various backgrounds in every corner of the earth with the good news of God's kingdom." So I'll just maybe read that statement again. It reaches so many people of various backgrounds in every corner of the earth. And so a tremendous witness has been given, and that witness is being made possible because we have confidence in our God and in his kingdom, and we're going to carry on that work. But we don't want to talk just about statistics. Let's talk about the effect that this ministry has on individual lives. If we could have our next illustration brought up, I'll introduce you to two gentlemen. The one on the left is Gideon. The one on the right is Johnny. These two men grew up in South Africa. We might be familiar that for many decades, South Africa was ruled by a very militant, powerful, white supremacist government, and they ruled by the political policy of apartheid, which kept the races separate. Gideon, the man holding the little boy there, I'll give up on whether it's right or left, He says, I was a leader in a far right organization that actively supported apartheid. I was a racist, a violent man, and I was an immoral man. He says it was an empty life. I was never really happy. Johnny tells us that as a young man, he became politically active. He became the chairman of a mass democratic movement. He was committed to this revolutionary cause, working for equality and justice. He says that he would be away from home for many weeks at a time. And when home, he would argue with his wife over anything and everything, things that meant nothing. He says that was because at these political meetings that he was attending, that's all we did. We argued. Nothing much was accomplished. Both of these men were contacted with the ministry, and they started to study the Bible at different times. What was the result of their coming to know Jehovah and putting their confidence in him? Well, Gideon says, I learned that with Jehovah there is no partiality. All people are equal. I began to accept that this is the way it should be. Johnny and I were brought together even though we were from completely different political parties. Before, we would have wanted to kill each other. But now we have love for one another. We have forgiven one another. Jehovah's organization changes people completely. People call me a softy now, and I have become a softy for Jehovah. Johnny says, I felt at home with Jehovah's people. I felt genuine love. I never thought that somebody like Brother Gideon, who is coming from an extreme right organization, can worship with me, who is coming from an extreme left organization. The transformation of our personality traits has led us to be genuine brothers. This is not an isolated circumstance. Around the world, those who put confidence in Jehovah and his principles can transform Those who put confidence in Jehovah can transform their personalities. They can root out prejudice and hate. They can break free from moral lives. They can break free from harmful habits and enjoy peace and harmony that they find in Jehovah's congregation. These people are confident. They've learned to be confident in Jehovah, that he views them as precious, that he will care for them daily and will provide whatever they need in the way of help to get through the difficulties that they face. And we can look forward confidently to a secure future. Is that how we feel personally? Does the truth affect us that way? How can we build our confidence in Jehovah? Well, we'll consider a couple of scriptural principles that are really ingredients to knowing, for us to build confidence. The first one we'll look at is in Proverbs chapter 22. And we'll read verse 19. There it says, for your confidence to be in Jehovah, I am giving you knowledge today. So we see that confidence is built on knowledge. So the Bible gives us this knowledge. We can understand Jehovah's love for us individually, for his creation. We understand the sureness of his promises for a world free from all the strife and anxiety that we feel today. This knowledge is vital for our confidence. Another scripture that we could consider is in Proverbs chapter 1. And verse 33. There it says, but the one listening to me will dwell in security and be undisturbed by the dread of calamity. So again, whatever problems we see happening around us, whatever concerns we might have about our circumstances or the future, confidence helps us to dwell in security. We know that Jehovah will care for us and provide for us, irregardless of what the circumstances at present are. We'll consider three Bible examples of those that showed confidence in Jehovah, how it helped them, and how we can follow their good examples. The first one is the man Nehemiah. If we could have that illustration. I really like this illustration because it helps us to understand the magnitude of the job that these ones faced. They had come back from Babylon to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Notice how small they are in the background compared to how high the wall is. And this is just one corner of the wall. The wall was several miles long around the whole city. So we get a taste of just how big a job that was. The Israelites, as I said, had come back from Babylon. They were enthused. They wanted to get the job done, but they had become discouraged. They had lost their confidence in Jehovah. Part of the problem was the magnitude of the job, but also the threat from surrounding nations that were intent on slowing the work down and not letting them finish the job. Are we in circumstances that are similar to that? Do we face problems that seem insurmountable in our lives? Can we relate to the circumstances that these Israelites had? Well, what we need in a circumstance like that is to be reminded of the role that Jehovah plays in our life. If you would turn in your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 4, and we'll consider verse 14. There we read, "When I saw their fear, I immediately rose and said to the nobles and the deputy rulers and the rest of the people, 'Do not be afraid of them. Remember Jehovah, who is great and awe-inspiring. Fight for your brothers and your sons and daughters, your wives and homes.'" So again, Nehemiah had confidence in Jehovah. He had knowledge about Jehovah's personality and understood that this was Jehovah's will. And so the words, "Remember Jehovah, who is great and awe-inspiring." And so they made arrangements to be prepared for the threat of a military advance. We can see the sentries, 1, 2, 3 of them there, standing with spears, with swords. He encouraged the men, look at how hard they're working to move the stones. They had a long way to pull them to get to the wall and then a big height to lift them. How did Jehovah, or confidence in Jehovah, help these ones? Well, consider chapter 6 with me, verses 15 and 16. There we read, "So the wall was completed on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. As soon as our enemies heard it, and all the surrounding nations saw it, they became greatly ashamed, and they realized that it was with our God's help that this work had been done." And so what a tremendous effect that was. Confidence in Jehovah was what helped them to accomplish that work. Jehovah didn't let them down, did he? They were able to complete that work. So as we face problems in our life, let's remember Nehemiah's example here. Let's be confident that Jehovah cares for us and will support us through our difficulties. Our next illustration, if we could have that brought up, is a reminder of what we can do to show our confidence in Jehovah. We'll notice that that is Lazarus's sister Mary anointing Jesus with very expensive perfumed oil. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 14. Yeah, chapter 14, and we'll read the account. And it says, "While he was at Bethany dining in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of perfumed oil, genuine nard, very expensive. She broke open the alabaster jar and began pouring it on his head. At this, some said to one another indignantly, 'Why has this perfumed oil been wasted? For this perfumed oil could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and the money been given to the poor.' And they were greatly annoyed with her. But Jesus said, 'Let her alone. Why do you try to make trouble for her? She did a fine deed toward me, for you always have the poor with you, and you can do them good whenever you want to, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfumed oil on my body beforehand in view of the burial. Truly I say to you, wherever the good news is preached in all the world, what this woman did will be told in memory of her. So as we look at this illustration, we see an example of whole-souled service. Mary is holding nothing back. That perfumed oil was a year's wage, not something to be taken lightly. But what it demonstrated, Mary's confidence, she was completely assured that it would be well received, that Jehovah would continue to look after her despite giving up this much of a contribution. And she was confident that Jesus, who she was sure was the Messiah, would appreciate this fine gift. And certainly he did. Those words that he said to her would have carried her for the rest of her life, that we would remember her. And we are remembering her. We're talking about her today. So the point is, for us today, what do we take away from this example? Well, for young ones in particular, when we think about our circumstances, we have a similar gift. We have our youth. We have our vitality. We can do something much like what Mary did here. We can show Jehovah how much we love him and pray about it with our Heavenly Father. See what doors of activity he opens up to us. The lower requirements for pioneering might just be that door right now, but there are other things available to us too. For us older ones, we don't have the vitality of youth, but we do love Jehovah. We have experience in life. Jehovah can open doors for us just as well. So let's give it make it a matter of prayer. Give it thought. Look at our circumstances. Perhaps we can do something like what Mary has done. Our next illustration, if I could have someone bring that up, thank you, is a familiar one to us. I like this illustration too because it demonstrates the destitution or the poverty of this older woman. But the thing to focus on here is her smile. She's happy to give her last two coins of little value. It's all she has to live on, as Jesus said. But the attitude, the confidence in Jehovah, that even though she was giving her last two coins, she knew that Jehovah would continue to bless her and care for her. And as Jesus pointed out, this contribution demonstrated confidence in Jehovah. It was more worth more to God than all of the other contributions that people were making at the time. So our older ones, please be reminded that Jehovah knows your circumstances, that you can't do what you did when you were younger. But the two coins of small value that you can give, well, that's very much appreciated, highly esteemed by our loving Heavenly Father. We need to maintain confidence in Jehovah to be able to continue declaring the good news until the time that Jehovah fulfills his prophecy. We read a scripture in Psalm chapter 2. In verse 9 of that psalm, Jehovah promises to smash the nations like a piece of pottery. That will happen very soon. So let's use our time now to make the type of contribution that we've just considered. Our last illustration that we'll have a look at here is something that we can look forward to. As you look at that illustration, it reminds us that this is a promise that's sure, that we can depend on. I'll read the verses from Psalm 46, verses 7 to 11. While I'm doing that, please focus on this illustration, because the things that we read have to do with what we see here. Better read the right verses. Jehovah of armies is with us. The God of Jacob is our secure refuge. Come and witness the activities of Jehovah, how he has done astonishing things on the earth. He is bringing an end to wars throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the military wagons with fire. Give in and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Jehovah of armies is with us. The God of Jacob is a secure refuge for us. So as we look at this illustration, can you breathe the fresh air? No asthma in the new system. Can you smell the fragrance of the many flowers that are pictured there? Perhaps the most important part of this illustration is what we see as the interaction of Jehovah's people there. There is a unity of purpose. There is a communal self-respect for each other. No animosity, no contention. They're doing a good work that will bring praise to their Heavenly Father. This is what we have to look forward to. This is a secure hope that Jehovah has guaranteed us. Let's not lose sight of this scene. Let's remember the sureness of Jehovah's promise and have confidence in his ability to bring these circumstances about.